The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I am one of your hosts, Anna, and I am joined, as always, by my book besties, Christina and Kim.
Hi, guys!
Hi.
Did you see that? I flipped it. I always say Kim and Christina, and I just, like, panicked, like, in my head as I was going, and I was like, what? Christina!
I love that.
Whoa. Keeping us on our toes.
You ad-libbing fool.
Trying to keep things spicy.
I love it. Keep it spicy, Woo! Girl. Keep it spicy. Anna, what are we talking about tonight?
Okay, listeners. We are here to discuss book three, Heat of the Everflame in the Kindred Curse Saga by Penn Cole. This is part one. We have only read to part one, so it's kind of like a read-along.
Yeah.
So, Kim, will you do some Patreon shout-outs before we continue on?
I would love to do some Patreon shout-outs. So tonight, of course, as always, we're going to be shouting out our tier two book betches. And tonight we're going to be shouting out Christina, Jessica Matting, Jenna Lewis, Kaylee, and Jillian Lynch.
Oh hey, guys. Gosh. And Christina, you're spelled with a K like me.
I know. Say, I was like, Christina, is this you?
Imagine if I also pay to be on her page. Like, I'm just paying myself money. Like,
yeah. just to be supportive, you know?
Just to just be like, supportive.
Yeah, no. Christina, thank you. Namey twin. XOXO, name twin.
Yeah, I love that. But yeah, thank you guys so much. We really, really appreciate you guys for being here and supporting us through everything. It means the world to us.
It does mean the world. I was about to say that, jinx.
You owe me a Coke.
Means the world. No one owes you a Coke. Except for Patreon bookbusters, if you want a Coke.
Maybe a nice Diet Coke with a lemon. That's what Anna likes.
Let me tell you, it is crisp Diet Coke with a lemon. It is so good. It hits.
It hits.
Okay, friends. So, as Anna said, this is part one of the three-part book. So, we will be covering each part in an episode. This is different from our first two episodes of this series because we went into those with the knowledge of the entire book.
Yes.
We do not know anything about this book past part one. We have only read part one. It's a 1,000-page book. We've read like 250 pages. So, speaking of, at this point in the evening, we would usually do our spoiler-free thoughts if anyone wanted to hear our thoughts on the book before picking it up. We can't really do that with a read-along because we can't speak to the whole book. So, all we can say here is we're having fun. We love it thus far. And what we would recommend is you go read part one, especially if you've read the first two books. Like, I mean, who wouldn't? Go read part one, come back here, listen, and then read along with us.
It's a read-along.
So this is your spoiler warning for all of Spark of the Everflame, all of Glow of the Everflame, and the first part of Heat of the Everflame.
Great job, Christina.
We're on fire, guys. Okay, Kim, take it away.
In some way or another, we're on fire. Okay, we're burning. Okay, so let's do like a little where we left off at the end of book two versus where we are now.
Love it.
Once again, this book picks up right where book two left off, which I have to say, I really love that Penn does that. Like we just keep it moving.
I so appreciate it.
No questioning, like what's going on? Where are we? Okay, so at the end of book two, during the coronation rite, after DM's blood cracks the heartstone. We'll get to that later. Stay with me. She's doing it. They're like, what did you do? She's like, I don't know. I'm just following directions. Don't yell at me. The guardians blow up the Kindred Temple.
Oh.
And Unfortunately, DM has now been captured by the Arboro section of the Guardians.
Oh boy.
Rough times.
It's not looking good, friends. This was a rough start. Let me just tell you that. Rough.
Because we had just gotten them back together. Or not back, together for the first time. Luther and DM.
just the one proclamation of love
has happened.
Like, psych.
So because we were a little frustrated by the first 100 pages, we're going to boot, scoot, and boogie through this first part, okay?
Love it.
Oh, unfortunately, we were correct, and Arlie is the leader of the Lumos sect of the Guardians.
Yes.
Can you believe?
Do you think Henry knew?
Oh, he absolutely knew.
He had to.
And he had the nerve to say to her, oh, I hope you get to meet her. She's captivating.
We knew that was suspicious.
Fuck you.
And she thinks her mother is missing.
Disgusting.
I hate him so much. I truly can't even say it. Arlie is also being held captive, but she's being held captive in a Fortos prison. And the Guardians are trying to use DM as kind of like a negotiating tool, kind of a hostage situation with the Lumnos descended.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't like DM, so that's not really working. They're kind of like, you know what? You keep her. Like, we're good.
Take her. That's fine. Solves our problems.
Right. So the Guardians are a little bit peeved about that because they're like, well, this is not what we thought was going to happen. And you don't really seem to care about your queen that much. So now what does that leave us with? Mm-hmm. Another thing Henry knew about was the planned explosion at the Kindred Temple. He knew about it. He knew it was going to happen. He knew DM was
going to
be there.
He knew she was going to be taken prisoner, too.
Yeah, the note, remember, in book two. Basically, it was like, we're on the same team and I love you or whatever. Doesn't matter. But are you kidding?
I hate this man. I hate him.
I have no words.
I hate
him. I don't even know what to say. Like, I almost don't want to let myself talk about it because then I will just not stop talking about it.
I don't even want to give him the satisfaction of being spoken about this evening because he's real and he knows. So.
And he knows. He knows what he did.
And I don't want to give him that satisfaction that we care.
No.
But we do, listeners. Okay.
Y'all, this is such a toxic relationship.
It is.
DM, it's like a abused dog and he keeps kicking her. And she's like, oh, but love me. Oh, but Henry. Oh, but this. And it's like, he doesn't give a shit about you. Move on.
Yeah. And we're going to get to DM's character in a little bit. But this very much is so her personality. It's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And then she's like, fool me 100 times. And it's just, I'm just going to keep being blind to everything.
Absolutely.
Like you said, Kim, it's very much like a beaten dog who keeps coming back.
Absolutely.
Okay. So when Breck comes to help DM escape, the first thing DM asks is this Henry's doing? Did he come to break me out? And Breck is like, no.
Nope.
And I'd appreciate it if you'd never tell him I had any part in this. Like, like, keep my name out your mouth. Thanks.
Not only did he not send me, if he knew I was here, he'd be angry.
He'd be so angry.
That I'm breaking you out for freedom. Like,
oh,
put that
God.
Together, girl.
The picture is being painted in front of you pretty plainly. And you're just like, what? I don't see it. He's garbage trash whore, okay?
Garbage trash whore.
So, an interesting thing, and I actually am very interested in Cordelia.
Yeah.
She seems very interesting as a leader, and I find her to be much more compelling of a character than Vance. Vance feels very one note to me.
Agreed.
And he's not interesting.
He's an asshole.
He's an asshole, but yeah, there's no depth to his character. He's so blinded by anger and hate that he's not even being a smart leader.
Agreed.
Oh, no, he's not.
Anyways, so Cordelia is the head of the Arboros Guardians, and she seems to be very level-headed and isn't just like, murder, blood, everyone must die, like Vance, okay? Speaking of Vance, y'all, this was so foul. While DM is being held captured, he holds her down forcibly and against her will obtains her blood to gain access to the castle. Because if we remember, she told Henry that she can get through that little boat passage and her blood keys the lock.
Right.
And Vance said, pin that for later.
I was so pissed at this part.
Well, and it was so hard to read. Because also, we should say, she doesn't have her power because they've been giving her flame root.
Oh,
so she is being held down. She actually cannot do anything. And there's like a little boy. It's all very sad.
And she doesn't want to fight back and she doesn't want to hurt anybody. And she's been cut up because they're draining her blood. And then you find out later, it's a moot point.
This whole thing was for naught.
Yeah.
So Luther later points out that the blood has to be given willingly and the door will know, okay?
The door will know
the intentions and the door is going to say, no, no. So we're going to summarize this next part so we can get on through it because it was a lot and it was crazy and stressful and We didn't love it. So DM was being given flame root. However, she's like, ooh, it's in my food. If I don't eat my food and starve myself, then my power will come back because I'm not taking the flame
root.
So that happens. And then Sarai is finally able to sense the bond between them and she flies in with Luther. Yeah. Oh, this was so stressful.
I know.
But the Guardians have these weapons, almost like a, I don't even know, like cannon of some kind.
I was picturing, if you've seen Lord of the Rings,
yeah,
they have these like bolts that kill dragons, or like in Game of Thrones, the bolts that kill dragons. That's what I'm picturing, is some sort of special bolt that can pierce Sarai's body armor.
Flesh, yeah. Okay, so Sarai's there. Luther's there. DM's trying to get up. She's super weak. Basically, she sends Sarai away. And she's like, take him away. And Luther is screaming at her like, DM, no, don't do this. And by the way, Luther has no magic here. So he has nothing to defend himself. And DM is too weak.
Yeah. I understood the logic. It just, as the reader in this moment, the rage inside my body.
Take her.
Feel like I've lived four lives in these 100 pages and she is there and he's there. And I'm like, oh, he has descended from the heavens. He's here to rescue you. And here's Sarai.
Yeah.
And then she's like, leave me. Go. Go on your way.
DM the martyr.
But again, we understand, like Christina said, like we get it. We just don't like it.
Yeah.
But before Sarai leaves, she's like, well, I'm going to blow some shit up with my magical breath.
Hell yeah.
And she burns Vance's arm off. And I love it.
Oh, that was so good.
I love it. I didn't feel one bit bad for him. And I was honestly like, I'm mad that you didn't kill him, but fine.
Agreed.
I got to think there's a fate coming for him. Like, karma's a bitch.
I hope so.
Let's cross all the fingers.
So meanwhile, after this whole situation, Cordelia kind of realizes that, like, okay, so the Lumnos Descended don't like you and they're not. They don't care. Like, they basically just said, you can keep her.
You can keep her.
And so now I don't really know what to do with you because so bye? Like, I guess.
They're going to send you on the ocean?
Because she also respects her mom. And so she's like, I can't kill you.
Right. I do love
but
that.
But she says, my people are going to want revenge for this attack.
Yes.
And so you're not really safe here.
Yeah.
So, which I loved this. I thought this was a super interesting decision.
Agreed.
Like, I just find her to be a really interesting character. And I understood where she was coming from, where she was like, look, I mean, I can't stop them. They're going to take it out on you because their family members got killed.
She reminds me of how I envision Aurelie to have been the leader.
Oh.
Of how I feel like she was leading.
Yes.
And the idea of the two of them leading together in realms, like, it would have been, I don't know, just if we could just get a female leader in every realm, I think we'd be okay.
Leave it to the women. Yeah. They got their shit handled.
Yeah.
That's
take
right.
The boys and their sticks and let them run away.
Run away. Henry and Vance, with your one arm, get out of here. We don't need you. You're not doing anything. Let the ladies handle it. So she's like, okay, I'm going to send you on your way. You're going to go back to Lumnos and deal with your shit because you've got a lot going on. So Breck helps DM leave on a boat, except that.
This was so funny.
The gods basically Moana her. And they're like, literally will not let her leave in this boat. The boat, like, she's trying to sail and the sail breaks. She's like, okay, no sailing. Guess I'll just row.
Nope.
Then they're like, no, we're just gonna tip the boat over. And so you get it. We're just gonna sit it.
You're not picking up what we're putting down, so we're just gonna tip you out, little teapot.
How am I in the mud? What's happened?
Yeah, I'm back on the shore.
It was so funny.
Sweetie.
She keeps going, oh, the current is so strong. I'm like,
oh,
is it?
DM.
So then she comes back and the Guardians are looking for her. And Cordelia's like, shit. So that's where we're going to leave off.
Yeah, we'll pick it up from there in a little bit. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of DM.
Yes.
Okay, she feels like a very different female lead character than we're used to.
Yeah.
She sees so much gray. Mm-hmm. The worst person, she tries to see the good in, and she tries to, like, get around hurting them as much as possible. It's not necessarily a bad trait, but when you're the leader and it's war times.
These are war times.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's war times.
You're going to come up against struggles.
These two quotes really embody what Luther and Alix and Taryn are trying to talk to her about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after her and Luther get reunited later, he tells her, the war isn't just coming. It's here. The battles have already begun. People are going to die. That's unavoidable. I know, I whispered. I just don't want them to die because of me. But they will, DM. There will be blood spilled by every side. Some of it will be at your command. Some of it might even be by your own hand. And you can mourn them, you should mourn them, but you cannot carry their deaths on your shoulders.
Oh, so wise.
Well said, my prince. Well said.
And this is like after they, you know, are escaping the Guardians, and she keeps trying to like say, don't hurt the mortals. Because, and in her eyes, they are weaker. They cannot fight. But the Descended, like Alix, Taryn, and Luther don't have their magic. They are stronger, but yeah. They don't have their magic. And they're fighting against Godstone tipped daggers and arrows.
Yes.
But she is just... I feel like what Luther and Alix are trying to make her realize is that there is a balance she's going to have to find. And Luther later says, don't you dare mistake compassion for lack of courage. Like, anyone can slaughter their enemies. Hate is easy. It's mercy that requires greater strength. I'll be damned if I let you believe that beautiful heart of yours is a weakness. Trust your instincts, my queen. Above all else, trust yourself.
Oh.
I love that.
That is the most supportive king comment we've ever read.
Yes.
Who you are is good enough and great. Mm-hmm. And the aspects of you think are weak are not.
Again, I know it frustrates us, right? Her lack of action.
I do understand in her backstory why the healer aspect plus
yes.
her growing up as a mortal. And in her head, we were always weaker than the Descended.
Mm-hmm.
These are my people, but they're not her people anymore. And they hate her and they want to kill her. So yeah. She's like, oh, I hate fighting back against them, but they're the ones trying to kill you.
Yeah.
So it's a hard balance there. Like, well, are they your people if they're trying to murder you and your loved ones?
I think she really grapples with that guilt more than any other female character we've seen. I mean, we do see Aelin really, you know.
Sure.
But it's... Diem takes all of that on, plus it stops her sometimes from being able to act.
Well, right. It's like she won't fight back, and that's what's frustrating, is I just want to scream at her, fight back, yeah. Stand up for yourself, stop letting yourself being treated this way by Henry and Vance, like, fuck him. Don't tell her about the tincture for his freaking arm. He just cut your face open, man. Like, come on. Yeah.
I get it that she's a healer, but that... It feels yeah. egregious. Like, oh my God, you're gonna help Vance?
Yeah, I agree. My frustration with her is more that she's focusing on the wrong things. And she's putting so much weight
yeah.
to these mortals and making sure that they're okay. And it's at the expense yeah. of other things that are more important. And it's like, I need you to see that.
Valid.
Yes.
Valid.
And I think this is gonna be one of her big character journeys.
Agreed.
Like Luther says, you're gonna have to come to terms with this. This is war. It's war times. And you don't need to lose that compassion, but you also are gonna have to understand that you can't carry all of it on your shoulders.
Like, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Later, Alix has this comment that she says that I also think is interesting. She says that crown and the title that comes with it is a weapon. Don't be afraid to use it. Basically, mm-hmm. like with great power comes great responsibility. Don't be afraid to wield it for the mm-hmm. good. Like it's a privilege and you're yeah. afraid to use it. Cause it is, she is afraid and it's new to her. So like, I don't expect her to be able to like just wake up and be like, I'm a queen. But I think that's going to be something she's going to have to learn how to deal with, especially because she's obviously other. Like she's not a normal descendant. She's more powerful.
Yes. And I feel like that quote also kind of read to me as like, this crown has power.
Yeah.
Not you having to kill someone, just the fact that you have this crown. And it kind yes. of leads to what Eleanor was saying. Dresses can be a weapon. The way you carry yourself is a weapon. The way you handle in court is a weapon. Use all of your pieces to your advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well yeah. said, Christina. I totally agree. And I would like to yeah. see that from her.
I would too. I do think that when Taryn is stabbed, that's the first time we see her realize mm-hmm. that she's going to have to make hard decisions and that people are going to get hurt and it's going to be mm-hmm. people she cares about and she's going to have to defend those people. And it might be to like the death.
Totally.
And when she realizes that he's been stabbed by Godstone and it's very infected and she's really nervous, she says, and if we lost Taryn, I wasn't sure I'd be able to wait on my godhood to avenge him. But I also knew my loathing was a mirror of what festered in the hearts of those mortal men. The same hate that had driven them to attack us in the first place. After all, how many of them had watched a loved one take their last breath at the tip of a descended blade? For at least one of them, that blade had been mine. They had taken their revenge on Taryn and had birthed a new hatred in me. If I took my revenge in return, it would only create new grudges, new blood feuds. Around and around we would go, hating and killing until no one was left standing. There was no good that could be born of it, and yet I hated them nevertheless.
Oh,
I think that is amazing.
I love this.
So well
like,
said.
Like, pen applause. That quote, the around and around we go, the cyclical effect of hate.
Yes.
I feel like is so applicable to current events. And just yes. like how mm-hmm. if you keep mm. killing and we all keep killing each other, it's just breeding new hate. Like the ideology of the descended are evil and that the mortals are just, you know, useless to us. It's just a cyclical effect that all they keep perpetuating over and over and over again. And it's going to take someone to break it, which I think is going to be DM, right? She's going to be that catalyst.
I hope so. Yeah.
It's so true. I think it was so well said. Mm-hmm. This theme has been addressed in other books we've read, and I can't remember it being said so clearly while still being said beautifully.
Yeah.
Yes. It's also, for a character we sometimes find frustrating, this is a great checkpoint for us as the reader to be like, no, this is valid. I get what you're saying. We're on the same team. I get this. This is hard. I get it.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah.
We're
yes,
together.
Totally, Christina. I felt like I could relate to her and I understood her feelings. Similar to when she first did her power in the dungeons with Luther and she starts like breaking down and being like, oh my God, yeah. I'm descended. My whole family's going to die. I'm going to watch my brother die. I'm going to watch my dad die. My mom is like, that panic was a moment where I felt like, yes, I felt it as the reader. And this was another time that I was like, this makes total sense. Like, and I love that she put this in here to be like, I hate them, but what am I going to do with that hate?
Right. How am I going to channel this to make things better, not make things worse?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So really quickly, I think we're obviously still learning so much about DM's powers and we're going to get to more of it, especially at the very end of the episode when we talk about the battle on the beach with the Igneous King. But just a couple things to note about her magic. The Igneous King says when he's like searching for her in the mortal city inside Igneous with Tybalt, he says, "One of mine and yet not. You're something different, something new. Even the sand doesn't know what to think of you. Where you walk, the forging magic doesn't bend, it shatters."
Ooh.
And this, so this goes back to the Heartstone.
Yeah.
So we know that if the Heartstone is shattered completely, all the realms will fall, which we took to mean that all of the magical boundaries that hold the descended in check within their realm would be shattered. Does that have other effects? Like, does that mean that people can access other types of magic? I don't know.
Because right now, you get the magic because you're born there.
Right.
Would it be like you get whatever magic you're supposed to get?
Yeah.
What magic would you get? We don't know.
You're not limited.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
And I think we're supposed to think at the end of book one that it completely shattered. But Christina had a great little analogy. When Taryn and Alix are trying to access their magic in Orbos and then in Igneous, which they should not be able to access it at all. But it's not like they have complete access to it. So we were like, Christina was like, it's like spotty cell phone reception. Like you're coming in and out.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a great analogy. I love like, that, analogy. Christina.
So like something's happening though with the Heartstone because they shouldn't be able to use it at all.
Yes. And I think that's something they're going to have to, she's going to have to go and do is the Heartstone wasn't shattered completely and only her blood can like fully shatter it. And because she only dropped a drop on it, it... There's a big chasm, I think is the word used. But I don't know that it like
Yes, chasm.
And clearly, I guess, explosives were not enough to shatter it.
I'm telling you, the fact that the bomb didn't shatter it is insane.
Because DM's blood is stronger than bombs.
Stronger than bombs.
That's right. Than any bomb.
Listen, it saves Taryn.
Well, that's all we need.
Okay, one last like sweet moment with DM and Luther. So Luther finds DM, right? And she's like, how did you find me? Because Sarai wasn't with you. And he like pulls out the compass. And we already saw how the compass works in book two. And so she walks up and he's stumbling over his words. And basically he's like, I was lost. Like without you, I was lost. And the compass shows what your heart most desires. And so she walks up and she cups it under his hand and it's spinning and then it stops. And then the arrow disappears and it glows. And he says, I found you.
Oh, I did not.
My God.
Luther, you sweet angel boy. But this is such an important moment for DM because right before this, I think is when Taryn says, oh, because he loves you. Like he says it so flippantly in reference to Luther loving her. And like Luther goes like, shut up, Taryn.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's remembering when Henry proposed and kind of like how she reacted. And she says, I'd run from those questions and from Henry because deep in my heart, I'd already known the answer was no. Even before I knew I was descended, before he and I were pushed apart by a crown and a war, something between us had always been a little bit wrong. But the man before me now was not Henry, and I was not running. And when I stared at the proof of his affection glowing before me in tangible, irrefutable form, everything about it felt right. I laid my hand atop his and snapped the compass shut, then slid it back into the pouch on his belt and pulled the drawstring closed. My palms flattened against his waist, then slid over the hard planes of his muscled torso. Pausing over his chest, I felt the beat beneath his skin. My heart desires you too, Luther Corbois.
Oh my God, I love it.
And this is like the moment we've been waiting for.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
And it's so beautiful. And you get this little paragraph of her going, this feels right. I'm not running. Oh. I choose you. Like, I want you. My heart desires you too.
Thank
my heart
God.
Desires you.
So good.
Oh, it feels so good to be back. Feels so good to be back.
Speaking of Luther, Christina.
Okay, our favorite point of the evening these days.
Yep.
A DeLulu for Lulu section.
Yeah.
Yay.
Okay, so I have the honor of doing this section this evening. Get ready.
Woo.
Buckle your seatbelts. Okay, so we're going to backtrack a little bit. We discussed some of our favorite shadow daddy moments of this part, okay?
Yes.
All right, to set the backstory here, after DM gets Moana'd, okay? That's where we are. She just got Moana'd, and she heads back to camp, and she's so wet. She's just like a wet girly, and she's soaked, and she's traipsing through the forest, and then she's like, what? What is this voice I hear? And the voice says, where is my queen? And it is Luther's voice, and he is there. He is there for her, and it is gorgeous.
The My Queen.
And someone grabs her from behind, and the person is like, oh God, you're really going to put up a good fight, Queenie. She's like, Taryn? And it's just incredible. Oh God. And this was the moment that I was like, I'm in. I am so back. I'm so in. Yes. Thank you, Penn. And really, this is page 118. She didn't make us wait that long. She could have made us wait way longer.
Yeah.
So they're there. And Luther got captured, like on purpose, though, so he could like talk to the people in charge, but fine. And long story short, her and Luther and Alix and Tara fight their way out and they escape, okay? Mm-hmm.
They sure do.
Now, amidst all of this, we get this sweet, sweet reunion moment with Luther and Diem that we have been wanting. I know I give a shout out to everyone who read these real time and had to wait in between these books.
Yeah.
Because we just waited for it like two nights. I don't know.
Yeah.
And we were like, what the hell?
We were thirsty for it, y'all. We were losing
thirsty.
It. Okay, but let me read it to you. Are you ready? Okay. My breath caught as he pulled me into his arms. Our lips came together like a surging wave on a rocky break. Two unstoppable forces, undeterred by the violence closing in on all sides. It was a reckless kiss, a dangerous kiss, and I never wanted it to end. He tasted of the spice of his fury and the sweetness of his relief. His urgent grip slid to the back of my neck, the burn of his skin against mine searing straight to my core. My queen, he murmured, the words rumbling against my lips. Hello, Prince, I gasped. I missed you too.
Oh, no! Oh my God, it's so good.
Such a good reunion.
And literally, there's bombs going off. People are screaming and fighting. And like, I can just see this so well. They're grabbing each other and they're kissing. And he's like, my queen.
So, all right, they escape. Okay. Yeah. They escape. And they happened upon this beautiful giant tree that happens to have a hollowed out section in their roots where it's a little room. It's like a private little hotel room, okay? Like a suite.
Yeah.
So her and Luther have some great times in this tree, you guys. So to set up tree times, she is really cold and really wet because she has been Moana'd. Mm-hmm. Like hypothermia cold. But it's consent, but make it sexy, y'all.
God, I love it.
He just wants to put her in all his clothes.
That's right.
He says, may I touch you? His expression was calm, his voice steady, no longer gentle, but not harsh either. My mountain in the windstorm, my island in a turbulent sea. I didn't answer, and he waited patiently, not moving any closer. Let me touch you, he urged again, quieter. I gave the slightest nod, and his hands carefully came to rest on the sides of my face, holding my gaze to his.
Oh my God.
Consent, but make it sexy.
Permission granted.
Permission granted, Luther. Get over here.
1,000 times, yes.
Always.
Always, my prince. Always.
All right. Okay. So I'm just going to run down some takeaways from our tree times. Okay. Our times in the tree. So we have some truth time.
Oh, I was so happy about this.
We love to see it in the relationship. We're supporting each other. We're also feeling safe enough to share our secrets. This is what we want. Okay. So a really interesting moment here is she confesses to him that she was a guardian. She's like,
yes.
I have this deep, dark secret. I was a guardian and I was involved in the armory bombing. And he's like, I know.
I already thought we talked about this. I thought this was a known thing between them. But is it just because we knew she was a guardian?
No, well, remember at the ball, when they're dancing, she does lets it slip that her plan is to take the descended down.
Right.
Yes.
So in my mind, that's basically the same thing, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so I gotta get us to the best part of the tree times.
Go, go, go.
Buckle your seatbelts.
Buckled.
So it's the next morning. Diem changes in front of Luther, and she says, oh, it's nothing you haven't seen before. And he says, Diem, when you and I finally get a night alone together, looking will be the least of what I do to you.
Sir.
I need it so bad.
This gives us hope of the sexiness to come, you guys.
Oh, I need it.
All right, so the next big thing is Luther gives us a breakdown of what happened on the Kindred Island after the bombs, okay? So he says, I saw them take you on the island. Your mother had wounded me, so I couldn't walk. But I tried. Blessed Kindred, I tried. I clawed my way through the dirt, screaming your name. Before I could get to you, a man came and carried you away. His throat bobbed as he swallowed. Your body was so still, so terribly still. Guys, I can't.
It's just so beautiful. And like just picturing Luther, because Arlie slashes his Achilles or something, and he's crawling.
Yeah. And screaming her name.
Poor like, Luther. Oh.
But so this next part, okay, the rage we felt. So he says, I found Henry on the boat attempting to stow some flame root your mother had hidden nearby, and I confronted him. I could tell he knew where they had taken you, but he refused to tell me even when things became heated. I held my breath. Did you hurt him?
Oh my God.
That is the first word she says after he says he crawled through the dirt screaming her name. Are you fucking kidding me?
Henry, her betrothed, should be the first person to be like, hey, let's go save the girl.
What kind of a response is that? That doesn't even make any sense. He said he crawled through the dirt to you.
Screaming.
And your response is, did you hurt Henry?
But it's insulting.
It is.
Okay, so veins popped on Luther's forearm.
Same.
Okay, and he says, no. Once I realized he wouldn't give in, I brought him and some other mortals back to Lumnos. I knew it's what you would want. How could you ever doubt him? This man is so devoted to you. He has never given you anything to think otherwise. Ever.
Who has Luther hurt on her behalf? Who?
Exactly. Who?
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 I'll wait. No, no one. So like, I don't understand.
Besides somebody who deserved it.
But if I were Luther, it'd be like, this is so ingrained in you that all descended are monsters still?
Mm, great point.
Yeah. You actually really think that I'm this crazy, weird, irrational being? When one, you're one of us. And two, I just told you how I crawled through the sand screaming your name and he also did not help me. So why would you care is the problem, you know?
Right. Why was her question not, first of all, oh my gosh, you crawled through the sand screaming my name. I'm so sorry. Are you okay? Two, wow, Henry knew where I was, wouldn't tell you, and literally refused.
Everybody keeps telling her, yes, Henry knows you're here, and no, he doesn't give a fuck.
Right.
But I really hope that at some point we get her coming to that realization. She's come to the realization that Luther is the one for her, but coming to the realization that Henry has let her down time and time again. I don't need her to kill him. I think that would forever put a stain on her soul. Mm-hmm. But I would love for her to finally confront him and be like, you put everything else before me.
Mm-hmm. We need a badass breakup conversation, and I really hope it comes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really need to have faith in Penn that that's coming, because I think we as the reader really need that. That's going to really bother me if I don't get some kind of resolution with Henry.
Putting him in his place. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. So speaking of faith, let's segue to like a fun little theme that we are seeing throughout this book, especially where Luther is concerned. And we still don't know the full extent of what's happening between he and DM. Like, who does he answer to?
Yeah.
You know, all of that kind of stuff. But DM has a really interesting conversation with Alix, and Alix says, "When we pray to the kindred, we give an offering of magic, just a small drop, something to honor the gifts they bestowed. They say the magic given up in prayer is lost forever. In theory, that is. No one really knows for sure." And then DM says, "If that's true, I'm surprised anyone prays at all. Aren't the Descended a bit obsessive about keeping their magic strong?" She cracked a small smile. "That's why the kindred give the strongest magic to their most faithful servants." And then in quotes, "An ember given is a flame received." And DM says, "But what about me? I've never prayed to her. I've made fun of her a fair bit, cussed her out a few times. I asked her for a favor once, and I'm pretty sure she laughed in my face." And Alix says, "Faith isn't always about prayer. Sometimes it's about sacrifice."
Oh, gorgeous.
It's a great line.
It is. I just love her. I love what she brings to the table. I think she's fantastic.
I agree.
And she's so willingly and quickly taking responsibility and accountability for her part in the divide between mortals and descended. And she said, "For me to know so little of it," meaning how bad it was for the mortals, "and to see how many are suffering there, some in ways I had the power to prevent, I cannot tell you how ashamed I was that night and still am. We descended have isolated ourselves in our schools and our cities. It's no excuse, but because I never saw the mortals, it was easy for me to convince myself they were doing fine."
Oh.
And then DM says, "You can't fix something that you refuse to see."
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous back and forth.
I love that line.
I just love her. I love Alix.
Yeah.
I think she and Eleanor bring very different but equally important tools to the table and life experiences. And I think DM can learn a lot from both. I love having like strong female characters bolster our main female character.
Our main female character. Agreed. Who's on the struggle bus sometimes.
Yeah. I do forget though that they're probably all like 200 years older than her.
True.
Oh my God, you're right.
Oh, sorry, really quick. We had a listener DM Penn and ask how old Luther was. And she says, "I purposely don't say his age just because I don't want people picturing him as 500 years old. And then he's with DM who's 20, which I actually love that she said that because
it's a running joke,
right? Like what does a 500 year old fey male want with a 19 year old girl?
Totally.
And so she was like, "So I purposely don't say, but something about him basically being around 28 years old for the descendant or whatever."
Oh, for the descendant. Oh. So like the way that they age.
Yeah.
I kind of like the way that she phrases that. I like that.
It's almost like dog years.
Yes.
Yes. In dog years. Exactly, Christina.
Exactly. In descended years. He's 28.
Isn't that so nice? I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Luther. Okay. We have to discuss this. So we know that Luther is very devoted to Lumnos. Blessed Mother Lumnos, as he calls her. And so when DM is on the beach and she's been stabbed by the thing, which we'll get to later, Luther looks up at the sky and says, "Haven't I given enough?" He roared up at the sky, muscles trembling. "At least return my magic. Let me save her."
Oh, this is fascinating.
What do you mean?
I know. There is something more going on with him in his relationship with Lumnos. We've barely scratched the surface, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so really quick, last thing on faith. I absolutely loved this quote. This is probably one of my favorite passages that we've read so far. Taryn's not doing well, and she's sitting in the sand.
Yes.
And she basically offers up her own prayer to Mother Lumnos to heal Taryn. And she says, "Listen, Grandma Lumnos," I muttered. "I see what you were trying to do here. A descended raises a mortal, a queen who doesn't want her throne. It's all very poetic. But you might have mucked it on this one. I really think you've got the wrong girl." My nose wrinkled. "Why not Luther? He knows how to avoid making an enemy out of every descendant on the continent, which I seem entirely incapable of doing. If peace is your goal, surely he would be a better choice to wear your crown." I narrowed my eyes, head cocking. "Do you even choose anyone? Maybe all this talk of you choosing someone worthy is a lie made up by greedy men to convince the world they have divine permission for all their evil deeds. Maybe you're not handing out blessings at all, and it's up to us to decide whether we become villains or heroes." As I climbed up the dune, I paused and looked skyward one last time. "You don't get my prayers yet. Save Taryn and get us home, then we'll talk."
Chills. That is incredible.
I love this.
And I love that it's a woman talking to a woman saying, maybe all of this is a lie made up by greedy men to convince the world that they have divine permission for all their evil deeds.
I love that.
And then it ends with, okay, you know what? Fine. Save Taryn. and then we'll talk. Because it goes back to what Alik said of, like, you have to give a little power to really pray.
Yeah,
right. And so she's like, no, you save Taryn first. Oh.
And get us home, and then we'll talk. Like, I love this because DM's taking power in a way back.
Ball's in your court.
Right. Like, okay, if you're really this blessed Mother Lumnos that you claim to be.
All powerful.
Help us out.
Yes.
Speaking of Taryn, oh my gosh, you guys. I love him so much.
Obsessed with him.
I love him.
It's so funny. Like, DM and Luther are in the tree, and Alix is like, I'm gonna keep first watch, and he's like, no, I want to be in charge. She's like, no, DM is in charge. Okay, well, what if DM's asleep? Then Luther is in charge. Okay, well, what if Luther is asleep? I'm in charge. Okay, well, what if you're asleep? And then he goes, if the three of you are asleep, then there's no one left for me to be in charge of. And Alix goes, exactly.
Oh my god,
exactly.
So funny.
There's also a whole point where he's like, are we there yet? And they're like, no, Taryn, you asked 15 minutes ago, we're not there yet. And he's like, oh,
he's such like a child.
So, he is so funny. So but this book needs it. It needs him as a relief, because otherwise things would just be tense.
It'd be heavy.
And he's a great addition to the group. I think he brings Luther lighter.
Oh my god, yeah, I love their relationship.
Yes.
So to summarize, because we kind of already talked about Taryn getting stabbed. So basically Vance and the Guardians find their inner circle, essentially, in their little tree hideout, and all hell breaks loose. Taryn ends up getting stabbed twice by a Godstone dagger. They do end up escaping to Ignios, which is basically a giant desert. And between Ignios and Arboros, there's a barrier that literally incinerates any humans who try and cross over it. And one of the Guardians learned that the hard way.
That was so crazy to read.
He was shish kebabbed.
He was. That was also such a cool visual. It's like a see-through wall, but it's rippling almost, and he tries to step through it.
Yes.
Okay, so his Godstone wound is bad. I'm gonna level with you, it's bad. And everyone's kind of freaking out. DM is being overly optimistic, though, when she's talking to Taryn and masking her fear of what could happen. And Luther says, is it right to lie to someone you love when you know death is coming? Mm. And DM's response is, there are many kinds of medicines. Some of them are easier to understand, like herbs and salves, but others are unexplainable. Faith, happiness, and laughter. Confidence in a positive outcome. Skin contact with loved ones. I've seen these things make a difference in patients that I thought were lost forever. I want to give Taryn the best chance I can. If my lie could keep him alive, isn't that worth it in the end?
I love that.
Yes!
This is our little healer. And we love when these moments happen. I know we give her our shit, but we do love it.
This is the side of her that I love seeing come out as a healer.
Yes. Yes.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. We love to see it.
You know what unfortunately isn't beautiful? Is the Ignios Mortal City. Because that's where we're going next, friends. Okay. So I'm going to tell you right now. It's a bleak few chapters here. So we're trekking through the desert. It's giving very Bridge Kingdom and Traitor Queen. If you haven't read that book, please go read them. They're incredible.
Go.
But like, there's windstorms. There's sand. The amount of times we would have just given up and died. I can't even tell you.
Take me now.
It's so bad. And then they finally make it. And it's giving bleak. It's giving death. There's skeletons everywhere, guys.
Yeah.
We don't really know exactly what happened. All we know is from book one, Henry tells her the people were flushed out into the dunes. Now, she does say that in this chapter, and Luther's like, who told you that? And he's like, was it one of the Guardians? And he says, because it's not true. So we actually don't know, as the reader, what happened to these
right.
people.
No idea.
Okay, but our heroes, they find an oasis to drink and bathe in. Taryn, really not doing well, really not thriving. And just to add to Taryn's struggles here.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
This is the moment that Diem and Luther come clean about the fact that they have both been working with the Guardians in the past. Like, at some point in the past, they did work with them. And Taryn is pissed. And I get it. He's like, they killed my friends.
Right.
And something that he says to Diem specifically, he's like, wait, after you moved into the palace, this happened? And she's like, yeah. And he says, wait, you got to know us? You became our friend and you worked with them?
Yeah, I get it.
This is another moment where Diem feels guilty, story of our lives, because she's talking about the armory. Like, that was my fault. Oh, I went in because I felt guilty. And Alix's response here is beautiful and really well said. She says, many people have reasons to feel guilty, but few are willing to sacrifice themselves to make it right.
Yeah, you tried to correct it.
A bunch of people feel guilty, but they wouldn't have gone in there to save those people.
Right.
You have to give yourself credit. You have to move on. You have to understand that we are going to have to make hard decisions. And you got to leave this guilt behind you because more guilt's coming.
Mm-hmm. Got to let go.
Let's move forward while also remembering to not trust Henry and the Guardians is what we want.
That's the takeaway I got from it.
Okay, so next big thing is the King of Ignios.
I hate him.
All right, and so they're hiding and he's taunting her, guys. He's walking around like, he doesn't say come out wherever you are, but in my head he does.
But that's basically.
It kind of felt like a fun house in a scary movie.
I hated it.
So he's searching for Diem. He specifically tells all his people, kill everyone you find except for her.
Yikes.
Okay, so I want to talk about Tybalt for a second. Okay, so if you remember, friends, we heard about Tybalt already in Glow in book 2.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when we did, we were like, is this random Gryvern maybe Sir Rye's mate? And this is why we thought this. I went and looked up the line. Okay, they're talking about seeing this Gryvern in war times. And someone says, he's a mean, nasty brute. Sarai let out the faintest whine, and an odd pulse of emotion I didn't understand came through the bond she and I shared.
Yes.
Maybe Sarai's feeling like, don't talk bad about, like,
a Gryvern. Yeah.
But it feels deeper because then we get Tybalt emotionally connected to Diem. Yes. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So evil, creepy king is like, find them, Tybalt. And God, it's really bad. He punches Tybalt.
Oh, I didn't like this.
And Diem, being like, I will stand up for the little guy, just mumbles to herself behind the slats. Gryvern's read intentions, asshole, not mine's. Okay? Tybalt hears it and turns and stares and cocks his head. Like, the cocking of the head to me is like, interesting. Because you know what happens next?
What?
The Gryvern lies to the king.
Yeah. He does, like, that weird mind speak thing.
That they're, like, in the dunes or something.
Yeah.
Which, okay, so that means you can lie to your crown, which is interesting.
Right.
I feel like there's workarounds. Like, if Tybalt could justify in a way that, like, I'm saving the King of Ignios because she is powerful.
Because she is more powerful.
Oh.
Yeah, because all they have to do is protect the crown and they're loyal to the crown.
You know,
like when Fae make bargains, like little caveats or whatever? Like, 100%. That's what I'm picturing.
Or is this her being able to speak to animals?
Yes.
Remember the horse thing, which I totally forgot about.
Yes.
Yes.
But she rode to the challenging and she sent, like, a calming thought to the horse.
Yes.
Yeah, to me, it seems more like her magic. Some connection
there.
No,
I think you're totally right, because later when we get to the beach battle, again, they connect. And I think each Gryvern can talk to their crown, but I don't think that all the other Gryverns can communicate with all the other crowns.
Right.
Maybe that's why he cocked his head. Like, he sensed something about her.
Or was it like, I sense Sarai.
Yeah. I also think he smells maybe Sarai on her, or like senses. Like, maybe the Gryverns can talk to each other across distances. I don't know.
Ooh.
Okay, moving on.
Okay, so moving on. Next big thing, guys. Diem takes a little secret trip to Arboros to get some herbs for Taryn. And I will say, I appreciated that we didn't clock this entire trip. It was just like, oh, overnight we went.
Very thankful.
Love it.
Because really, it was a long journey.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, we went through so many perils, so many trials and tribulations, girlfriend.
And then she just summed it up.
But also, this is a 1,000-page book, so it's fine.
Right.
So she gets back, and Luther is beyond mad, y'all. He's like, where were you?
Pissed.
Daddy's mad.
Okay.
Yes.
But I love this part where she goes, I left a note, and then Darren's waving the note about, and he says, believe it or not, if I'm not back by dawn, go to Umbros without me, didn't ease a lot of concerns.
I love it.
Just added some.
Like, in what
levity.
World.
Okay.
Oh my god, then, so funny.
So at this point, Luther's like, and you took the compass. Like, he's personally hurt by this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then she goes, yeah, I did. Because you would have just come running after me. And this is when he really starts yelling. It's in italics. He goes, you're fucking right, I would have. And then his next big outburst is, it should have been me.
Yeah.
And then she says this. I'd known Luther would be upset, but this was something more than anger. This was something primal, something desolate. The darkness shadowing his face was unlike anything I'd ever seen in him. And judging by the apprehensive looks on Taryn and Alix, neither had they. And so, okay, I read this initially as like, oh, he's giving mates. Like, this is his mate vibe, protective, all-encompassing protectiveness.
Yeah.
But also, could it be something more? I know in Chapter Chats, Anna, you talked about maybe this could be something more. And then putting these quotes into the outline, I don't know. I can't help but think that maybe it's true.
Okay. And this is me. You know how I spiral.
We know it, girl.
So the way that this is described is him being so angry. And we've seen him in book one and in book two, and he's never been like this. And she notes that even Taryn and Alix are like, whoa, this is extreme. And he says, it should have been me. When he's like, haven't I given enough? And like, you know, at least can I save her? And we've talked about the scar, right? And how it skipped over his heart.
Right.
For some reason, that just sits oddly with me because it keeps getting referenced. So then the one time they're alone and they're sleeping together is in the tree, right?
Yeah.
It's pitch black in there when he undresses her, and then they're lying on top of each other. And he doesn't have a shirt on, but he undresses her with her back to him. And then when they're lying on top of each other, she goes to trace his scar. And he freezes. She notes that his whole body flinches and then freezes. And then she says, I've always known he was embarrassed of his scar, but I thought that he wasn't anymore. But in book two, he has no problem taking off his shirt and showing her his scar. And then he won't bathe with everybody. And she catches him bathing in the dark.
I did remember that.
Wait, what? Yeah.
And she's like, oh, and she clocks it.
I thought that was
weird
too.
And I was like, why are we clocking this?
What does that mean?
And now I'm panicking that this fool made some sort of bargain and like give his heart.
Oh,
is his heart
no,
like,
no, no,
which
no.
Will go back to the mating thing, because we keep harping on this mating bond and how it has to be true love. How can you have true love if you don't have a heart?
Oh my God, what, Anna?
I don't know. I'm just saying that like there's something going on, and I feel like I'm reading into it again. It's just the way that we've already seen him naked. He hasn't had a problem.
Yeah.
He's showed her his whole chest.
Right, yes.
And then the fact that he changes her with her back to him, makes sure that there's pitch black. It's weird, his behavior.
Him dressing her, I took it as he was just trying to be respectful to her and turn her around.
I know, that's, yeah. That would, you know what? That's a lot easier.
Okay.
So, all right. Another really interesting note about this. After this whole thing, he does give an apology, but there's another little cryptic thing in there. He's like, okay, I'm sorry. I'm not angry. Not with you. Who are you angry with, then?
Who are you angry with, then?
Lumnos.
But there is a nice supportive moment where he's like, you shouldn't put yourself in danger like that. You're the queen. And she says, yes, Luther, I am the queen. If I wanted to risk my life, that's my decision to make. And she says, I thought you believed in me. And he just says, I do. I always will. And then he takes a slow, trembling breath and refuses to meet her gaze and says, I was supposed to be around to protect you. What does that mean?
Okay, supposed to be around to me sounds like you're going to die.
So there's something there. We don't know what it is. We're in it. All right. So another really interesting moment, though, is this moment with Taryn that I love. That everyone's like, no, you shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have done it. What's wrong with you? And Taryn just says, thank you, DM. I'm too selfish to say I wish you hadn't done it. But I hope you know I would have done it for you, too.
Aww, sweet Taryn.
Okay, wait. Also, while making this poultice with these new herbs. Oh, no.
Oh, no, DM. What a clumsy girl.
DM cuts her hand.
Yeah.
Drips that blood onto the poultice bowl. And she's like,
I did not even think about this when this was happening. Like she's a practiced healer. For years. Why are you cutting your hand open?
My blood's in the bowl. We're in a desert. Gotta keep going.
True. It's wartime.
Gotta make sacrifices. And then, oh my goodness!
Yep.
Surprise! He's magically better. Everyone's reaction when she takes those bandages off. And her and Luther are in a fight. They haven't spoken.
Yeah.
She says that he's walking behind her and she tries to walk slower and he walks slower.
Yeah.
That's the best visual. He's like, no, I'm going to slow down. No, I will slow down.
I will crawl. I will not walk faster.
You know I'm not above crawling, DM. I will crawl if I need to.
He'll get on his knees for you, lady.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So, yes, it turns out it heals his wounds and it's so sweet and wonderful and it's everything we wanted. Then they're like, we're gonna make our way to Umbrose. But oh no, JK, we got confronted by some Igneous guards. There's these three guards.
Yes.
They show up. They're like, hey, who are you foreigners? And DM has put a hood on and she's hiding under this hood. So then at some point, one of the guards sneaky sneaks around her and goes to grab her from behind to take her hood off. And what comes out of Luther's mouth? He says, get your hands off my mate.
I love it.
Guys.
That.
My mate.
On page confirmation.
He said it in a moment of vulnerability and reaction. It's true. It's truth.
So it's true. It must be true.
But he does later say, I just said it to be whatever.
I
know.
I don't believe that for a second.
Well, I think he thinks they're mates. I don't, you know, we've talked about, has he done the mating bond without her?
No, I don't think he has, but I think he can still think that they're mates without doing it.
Yeah. I think he still thinks they are.
But I love this thing that Penn has done with the mating bond. Lens commented on our Patreon.
Yes.
But how beautiful it is that it's mating bond with a choice.
Yes.
And that's, I love that terminology. I think that would take away from it if he did it in secret, you know?
I agree. Totally.
Great. Christina, read the quote that's like her response.
Oh my God, this is so good.
Oh God. She says, even though it was an act, hearing the word mate from his mouth, hearing him claim me in that profound, irrevocable way was confusing, maybe, surprising, definitely. Breath-stealing, heart-whirling, world-shifting. I was never a woman who had dreamed of commitment. I'd always met an attempt to contain me with a stubborn resolve to push back harder. Henry's marriage proposal had sent me running. So to hear Luther call me mate, a bond that would permanently bind us through this life and beyond, I should have been panicking, shutting down, raising my walls, fleeing for the hills. And yet, I wasn't.
Oh, I was so relieved at this response. Yes. I was like, if you get pissed at him, I'm throwing my Kindle across the room.
Yeah.
I just love this, that she's acknowledging right away, okay, why am I not scared of this? Why am I not running away?
This is the same feeling you had earlier, DM, when the compass chose you. This is the right person, but this is who your heart desires.
Beautiful. And that leads us into the end.
Okay, yes. So we have that moment, the Igneous soldiers let them escape, and they're making their way to Umbrose, and DM is burning up. Like, God, you guys, it's really hot. I'm sweating. And everybody else is like, really? Because it's kind of gotten a little chilly out. Like,
literally, Taryn's like, Queenie, it's chilly.
It's chilly. It's like kind of a comedic moment. I know it wasn't probably supposed to be. But she starts ripping off her clothes.
Stripping. Yes.
It literally gave me, like, when I was pregnant, I'm dying on the subway. I can't do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah,
right.
So she runs into the ocean and the water is boiling around her. She is literally heating up from the inside. She's a microwave. And okay, so the Igneous magic is heat, fire, flame, and the flame root is wearing off and she's in Igneous and she's more in touch with Igneous's power for the first time because she's on their soil, but she finally just releases and literally she combusts. Like it says, it was as much inside me as on me and around me. My soul was smoldering, my spirit scorched. There was no burning and not burning. There was only the fire. Everywhere the fire. And the strangest part was that it felt incredible. There was no pain, no welts or blisters, only the most exquisite sensation of release.
Gorgeous.
Interesting.
She's just burning and burning. And Luther, of course, is running up to her and he just, I'm just imagining him being like, oh my God.
You're literally on fire.
You're on fire.
Yeah, what's happening?
And she's like, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I'll burn you. I'll scare you. And the tightness in his jaw, the strain in his muscles, it melted away the moment he folded me into his arms. Deep breaths. I've got you.
Oh,
I love it. I've got you.
It's so good.
It kills me every time.
It's so good.
So she's able to control it. It doesn't hurt him. And then later when she's still burning up, it doesn't hurt Taryn or Alix. And I love this. She starts to calm down and she starts to pull in the magic. And he goes, why is that? I can't even read. It's like not even sexual.
Wait,
he He says, "You're mastering it so quickly." Just like that, by the way. He said it just like that, in that tone and everything.
He said just like that.
Oh, am I? Am I mastering
it? I was like, am I getting an A plus, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is, professor?
Would you say I'm being a good girl? If you were to categorize me, would you say I'm being a good girl?
If you had to choose.
Bad or good?
Tell me how I'm doing such a great job.
He doesn't mean it in that way, but we all took it that way. We were all like, oh, wow.
Oh, am I? Am I? I'm not even trying. I don't even know.
I'm like barely trying.
Oh, me?
Little old me? Who's afraid of little old me?
Little old me.
We are so unhinged.
Unhinged.
Okay, so she masters it so quickly, and he's carrying her, and then thump, thump, thump. Goes the wings.
Listeners, we're confused about the thump, thump, thumps really quick. I just have to touch on this. In what world does wings beating, to us it's more like whooshing? Whoosh.
Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
But we talked about this. You can't write whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
And it'd be ominous.
Whoosh,
whoosh. I don't think ominous. I don't.
I get it. I just don't think thump is what wings, the sound that wings make.
It sounds like a drum.
Okay, so thump, 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 go the Tybalt's wings.
Thump, thump, thump.
And the King of Ignea shows up with a couple of his soldiers, and Diem has made Alix promise that if push came to shove, that she was to take and rescue Taryn and get him to Umbros to get a healer. And so she takes Taryn and they start to take off. Taryn never realizes that Diem is not right behind them. Bless his stupid, dumb little heart.
Bless his little heart.
So Luther is like, I'm staying with you. And she's like, yeah, I figured. You were never going to leave me. Not worth the argument.
Yes.
Okay, so a couple interesting things that happen here. Again, like Diem and the Grivern seem to kind of note each other a little bit. And okay, this is interesting. It says a rumble from its chest that it would defend its king, that it had to defend its king whether it wanted to or not, which I think goes back to like what Luther says in book one or book two, that the Grivens are basically slaves to the crown. They have to do it. They don't always like who their ruler is, but they don't have a choice.
Right.
And that's important to note for later,
yes.
The end of this part.
Right, right, right.
So Diem is using her magic. Let's just call it her normal descended magic, not whatever other special power she has. And she puts up a shield around her and Luther. And they're being attacked by all the magic, and eventually it's starting to drain her. But then she kind of just comes up with this out of thin air, although we suspected it based on the challenging when Ron shoots magic at her and she absorbs it. She comes up with the idea and she like shuts down her normal quote unquote shield and turns her back to the king and absorbs all of the fire that he aims at her. And it says, my magic sparked back to life, burning brighter with every blow. As I turned, careful to keep Luther behind me, I no longer bothered to raise my shield. Though the guard's strikes were still coming, they absorbed harmlessly into my skin. The king looked deeply unsettled. With a swing of his hand, a tidal wave of fire rose and crested ahead above me. I threw out my arms and accepted its crushing fall with a smile.
Oh.
Beautiful imagery.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful.
So she is basically like a battery. She gets recharged.
Right.
And so she's different than other descended in that way, which makes her very
right.
dangerous. If their magic doesn't kill her, it literally makes her stronger.
It makes her unbeatable, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I do think that that's going to be important for her. I think she's been training with this normal descended magic, which seems to drain her. But when she uses whatever this other gift is and embraces it, it seems to charge her up like a battery.
That's a great point, Anna. If she was training with that, who knows how training would have gone. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Okay. So because she still has the flame root in her system, the magic is, it comes and goes. And so of course it disappears.
Of course.
And so the king realizes that she's trying to protect Luther. And so he tells everybody, like, concentrate all your efforts on Luther, like, kill him, because that'll make her basically, you know, do what we want. And it works. She, like, begs the king to take her. And this is, okay, so this is interesting. She looks at Tybalt and she says, when my vision steadied, the king's Grivern had arched its neck toward me. It watched me blinking slowly. Something stirred in my chest, a forgotten intuition, a memory you know exists but can't quite recall. In the depths of the creature's dark golden eyes, there was not a message exactly, almost an emotion, as if, and then it cuts.
What does when that
when
mean?
Pen does the dashes, I get really raging.
I know.
I'm like,
it's like Pen, what are you doing?
Okay, a forgotten intuition, a memory you know exists but can't quite recall. What does that mean?
Now rereading it, I'm wondering, do you think she's tapping into like Faunos's magic? There is something here. I'm supposed to be able to talk to you, but I can't access it.
Interesting.
So, okay, so the king is throwing all the daggers or whatever, and she realizes one is going right towards Luther, and she dives in front of it and gets like stabbed in the chest. And Luther freaks out and he's panicking and blood is coming out of her mouth and she's like dying. Yeah. But she's, the only word she's getting out is magic. And Luther's like, I'm not talking about your magic. I'm trying to stop the bleeding.
You're dying, babe.
This is not the time.
So she senses or somehow knows that his magic came back. And this was a little confusing at first. Like, at what point did she realize this? But I did go back and look. And when Luther comes to her to help, it says the strange sensation was warm, inviting. It felt safe. It felt like home. And I think that's her realizing that his magic came back. It just is not very clear.
Like, what I'm feeling is his aura and... Yeah.
Yes.
So the fact that she was like, it felt like home and I wanted to like sink into it. It sounds like she's like, oh, I just want to go to sleep and die.
That's what I thought, Christina.
Oh,
this seems
yeah.
nice and cozy and I'm yeah. just going to fall asleep.
Yep, that's what I yeah. thought too.
I was like, what am I missing?
Yeah.
But I do understand that if the sensation is seeing and sensing his magic, then of course she'd be like, magic, you have magic, listen to me, you have your magic back.
I went back and reread so many times, and the only other thing that seems different or interesting is like a storm is starting to roll in.
See, that's interesting.
Which,
yes.
here, okay, so two things. One, he's stopping her blood, and I don't think we've said this line yet, but he says, it should have been me, I should have told you, period.
Told you what?
What? Told her what? I don't think it's I love you. I think there is
some, no.
again, there is something he is doing, needs to do, and he hasn't been able to tell her yet.
100% agree.
Okay, so she tells him that his magic has returned, and it says, and then Luther Corbois unleashed. We have never seen him do this. A faraway song played in my ears as Luther's magic consumed the beach. Unlike before, when I'd seen him shape it into objects or weapons, this was an eruption of pure, glittering day and violent, vengeful night. It came in a deluge from every angle, swirling around the king and his Gryvern and trapping them within an enormous whirl of liquid dark. Even the earth couldn't escape his wrath. The falling rain sizzled to steam as it collided with a crackling swarm of white-hot sparks that flowed from his palms. Granules of sand flew into the air, tossed by the rumbling tremors that rippled with each deadly blast of shadow. I could almost hear the roar of Luther's godhood in the deafening thunderclaps that trembled in the clouds.
Wow.
The description.
It's the imagery. Oh,
gorgeous.
See, we know he has shadow and light, right? That's the Lumnos power. But I wonder if, like, it's described as swarm of white hot sparks that flowed from his palm.
Okay, I have a thought about this.
Okay.
So they touched on this. I can't remember if it was book one or book two, but they're in the dungeon and they're talking about magic. And DM's like, well, explain it to me, because how does light kill somebody? And they bring up how you take a magnifying glass the light can refract through it and it can, like, burn something.
I have it right here.
And
I have it.
Oh, yes. Okay. Okay.
Have you ever held up a magnifying glass to sunlight on a clear day? Our magic works the same way. We conjure light and focus it down to its essence. At its purest, light can burn through almost anything. What about the shadows? Something, something. Shadows work the same way. Darkness isn't just the absence of light, it's the absence of everything. No light, no heat, no air. True darkness can destroy even life itself.
Okay, so maybe that's what
but
it's, okay.
The storm is interesting.
I was just like, I was like, with the thunder, I was like, it's giving like God.
Also, the storm comes up when she looks at Tybalt.
Yes.
It says, almost an emotion as if dash lightning splintered down from the darkening clouds, followed by a booming crack of thunder. Rain began to patter. Like, her hands are in the sand.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's looking at the Gryvern. And an emotion passes and the storm starts.
Maybe she starts the storm.
Hold on. Is there a storm in the sea? Does it mention anything about the sea as well or just the sky?
I thought that when she goes out to the sea, clouds are coming in, but I could be wrong.
Okay, because Meros is realm of sea and sky. A gaze to match the vengeful seas. In water deep, they'll drown your pleas.
Oh my God, maybe she's,
so maybe she's
doing the sky. And
yeah.
The, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's sky. Yeah. So sea and sky, and they're on the beach. Is she somehow...
Oh my God.
The storm thing was what really struck me.
Yeah.
the lightning and the...
It's not just theatrical.
It's not just theatrical. There's something else going on.
Agreed. Yes. That's very interesting. Guys.
Okay, so Luther unleashes, him and the king are battling back and forth. Tybalt and Diem do their weird mind speak thing again, which we've already talked about. But basically, the insinuation is if Luther kills the king, the Greyvern has no choice but to kill Luther.
Right.
And so she says, take the king, go, and Luther won't kill the king. And so the Greyvern takes the king and leaves. And that's when she says, like, I wish I could have saved you too. It's really sweet.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
And then basically the very last few pages of this is DM tells Luther, like, you got to charge me up, you know, hit the center stone, charge me up.
Yeah.
And so he's tentative at first, but he like starts to do it and she bounces back and she's still weak, but like it starts to heal and knit. And then of course, Taryn and Alix show back up and Alix is like, sorry, he realized you were missing.
Oh my God.
And it's like the ending is basically them leaving and about to enter Umbros. And that's where we end part one.
That's it, guys.
I am so excited for them to get to Umbros. Like, I cannot even tell you.
I
want to
see the queen. I want to see what it's like.
Yeah.
I'm dying. I can't wait. Oh my God.
This is the end of part one. We are all about to go start part two right now. And yeah, we will be doing chapter chats for this entire book, as many as we can over on Patreon, like always. So if you want to hear more of our thoughts, go over there and follow us on Patreon. That link will be in the show notes. And follow us on Instagram at Flights of Fantasy Podcast and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time, cheers and happy reading.
Happy reading. Cheers. Bye. Love you guys. Bye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.